grab your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. I thought Miss Marianne was going to preach a little bit of my sermon there this morning. I thought I was going to have to flag her down or we'll preach to you for a few minutes out of that passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter number 6, and try to give you what I believe the Lord has for us this morning, and maybe even for this coming new year. This is a thought that's been on my heart, and hopefully we'll be able to receive it today. Joshua chapter 6, if you want to stand, I'll encourage you to do that. Joshua chapter number 6. And we'll read verse number 1 and following. We'll skip around just a little bit, but there's a phrase that I want you to see. We'll see it in three different verses. I'll point those out as we move along. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And it shall come to, and ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt you do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when ye shall make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Drop down and look at verse number 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass when at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Again, look at verse number 20. Drop down and look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Look at verse 5 quickly. The Bible says that God commanded Joshua, when they compassed the city the 7th time and heard the ram's horns, they were to shout with a great shout. Verse 16, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And verse 20 is the fulfillment of those. They compassed the city the 7th time, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we try to preach from the Word of God. Use us and help us. Be our God, be our mind, be our stay. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. You can be seated. I guess you can see from the passage that I read to you this morning that I am not in the Gospel of John. I believe the Lord will allow us to return there soon, and I hope He does. There's still a lot of good passages and amazing stories before us in the Gospel of John. We've still got the story of Lazarus. We've still got that great garden prayer, the story of Calvary and the resurrection. But there's a thought that is on my heart this morning, and I feel like I'm supposed to share it with you. I was thinking this week as I begin to prepare for this, it seems as though when we come to the end of the year and the coming of a new year, that God seemingly gives us a thought for that coming year. A few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I preached, we actually made a sign, it was hanging up for some time, and I preached a message on the power of one, how that God wanted us to get our one. And I've not changed my mind on that. I still think that God wants us to go get somebody. In fact, that should be our heart's desire, to just bring one person to Christ this coming year. Wouldn't that be amazing? And then last year I preached on the interesting subject, is it okay for me to clap in church? But wasn't that an interesting sermon? But we've been doing that. I think that's been a blessing. And I'm looking forward to another year here at Northside. And I believe God has a word for us again this year. It is an interesting word. It is an interesting thought because of its subject and because of the year that we've just had. And you'll understand that in just a minute. In Joshua chapter number 6, we have the familiar story of the passage of Joshua and the city of Jericho. If I could sing like Elvis Presley, I would sing this morning, "Joshua Fit the Battle Round Jericho." Man, he could sing that song. You could talk about your many of Gideon. You could talk about the king of Saul. But there's none like old Joshua at the battle around Jericho. Well, I think I could almost sing it. My legs started moving a little bit just then. I almost had it. But we know the story. If you grew up in church, I'm sure that you probably had a Sunday school teacher at some point that told you the story of Joshua fighting the battle of Jericho. No doubt that teacher told you how that Joshua was given the commandment of God to march around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. Well, I don't want to necessarily retell that story this morning, but there is something that I am interested in verse 5, verse 16, and verse number 20. In every one of those verses, God told His people to shout. And I want to use that this morning and preach for a few minutes on the thought, a shout for the new year. A shout for the new year. Now, you might see why that is an interesting subject. This morning, I believe that it would be good for us as individual believers, and I believe that it would be good for us as a church to have a shout in our soul. And not only should we have a shout in our soul, but I believe we should have a shout on our lips. The Bible said in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, let me say before I move on that I recognize a few things. First of all, I realize the year that we have just come through. You say, "Now, preacher, you're telling me I ought to shout. Do you understand the way 2020 went down?" Yes, I understand 2020. In fact, it seems as though 2020 just is not going to go away before it just causes more hurt and more pain. I received a phone call just this week on Christmas Day about a man that I respect and look up to and even love that was tragically killed in an automobile accident. 2020 has been a difficult year, but that does not mean that we as the children of God cannot rejoice in the fact that God has been good. Amen. I realize, second of all, that rejoicing isn't always easy. It's really not. We come to church and we've got the world on us. We've got another week that is pressing on our shoulders. We have just come through a week. We've got to do this and we've got to accomplish that. I add on top of that it can sometimes even be a little bit embarrassing to raise a hand or to say amen. What is everybody going to think about me? And rejoicing isn't always easy. But we serve a God that is worthy of our praise. He is bigger than us. He is bigger than the week we just come out of or the week that we're going into. He is more important than our pride and our embarrassment. In fact, it would be good to offer our pride on the sacrifice of God's altar this morning and say, "I'm willing to give my pride. I'm willing to give my embarrassment. I will sacrifice that because You are worthy of my praise." Amen. I realize, third of all, that not everybody rejoices the same. I get that. I understand that. Everybody has their own way to rejoice. But I believe that God wants us to rejoice. I believe we should rejoice. I believe God is worthy of our rejoicing. And so I want to preach this morning on the thought, a shout for the new year. I believe that the shout outside the walls of Jericho was more than a shout of victory. In fact, I want to show you 3 things today that I believe motivated this shout, and it'll motivate ours as well. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, their faith allowed them to shout. Their faith allowed them to shout. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a shout of faith. They were standing outside the walls of Jericho, and I'll say more about this in a minute, but they were standing outside of Jericho. They had done a very nonsensical thing. They had done a very odd thing. They were standing around a city that was fortified, that was strong, that was tall. And before the first piece of mortar ever fell out of that stone wall, the people of Israel shouted in faith because they believed God was going to give them the victory. The reality is the book of Joshua, if you study it, the book of Joshua is a book of faith. A great example of that is found in chapter number 2. It is the faith of an individual, a woman by the name of Rahab. You remember that Rahab saved those Jewish spies in her home. She believed by faith that God was going to give Jericho to the nation of Israel. She believed that God was going to give them the promised land. And Hebrews comments about Rahab, Hebrews 11, 31. And it said, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace, she had faith enough to believe that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. When we come to chapter 6, however, it is not the faith of a single individual. It is the faith of an entire nation. Hebrews comments about this as well. Hebrews 11, 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You may remember that it was a lack of faith. It was a lack of faith that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land for 40 years. You see, 40 years prior to what is taking place in Joshua 6, the people of Israel had walked up to the Jordan River previously. We know the story. Moses sent forth 12 spies into the land of promise, and 10 of those spies come back saying, it's too big, it's too hard, there are fortified cities, there are strong inhabitants, there are even giants in that land. And though Joshua and Caleb urged them to go forward, the nation of Israel turned around and went backward. It was a lack of faith, a rebellion against Moses and against God that kept them from taking this city 40 years prior to this. Can I just say for a minute, unbelief always says, let's go back. But faith always says, let's go forward. Amen. Unbelief always says, we are not able. But faith always says, I may not be able, but God is always able. Amen. And they said 40 years prior to this, we're not able. We must turn around and we must go back. But God did not intend for them to turn around and go back. God did not intend for them to destroy the inhabitants of the land by their own power. God was going to give them power, give them might, but a lack of faith turned them backwards. The biggest act of faith now we see on the part of the children of Israel comes at Jericho. They are going to march around this city. They are going to trust God to give them victory. They are going to rely on God. And when they shout, it is more than just a shout of victory. It is a shout that says, I believe God. Amen. That's right, it sure is. It is an act of faith. This entire plan is an act of faith. You think about this with me. I can assure you that Joshua, the great general of Israel, would not have planned to march around a city for 7 days and on the seventh day march around that city 7 times. But that is what God told him to do, and so that is what he was going to do. I can imagine their shout on day 7 was a shout of faith. That shout said, we believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. We believe that God is with us. We believe that God is going to give us victory. They shouted outside of the walls of Jericho before one stone fell, before one enemy fell. They shouted because they believed God. Can I say, in like manner, you and I, we do not know what this year is going to bring. You could not have prophesied to me at the end of 2019 and told me what 2020 was going to bring. I never would have believed you. I would have said you're crazy. I never would have expected that we would have faced the year we were going to face. But can I say that while I do not know what this next year will bring, it could be worse than the year we've just had. It could be better. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I do know this. I know the one that holds tomorrow. I know the one that's already planned 2021. I know the one that's got all power in his hands. I know the one that said, I know my plans for you, plans to prosper you and protect you and to give you a purpose then. I know God. And while I don't know what tomorrow will bring, Brother Scott, we sung that. I know who holds tomorrow. I can stand outside the walls of 2021 and I can shout and say, I believe God. Amen. Yeah, that's right, friend. We can trust God. Notice this. I believe they shouted in faith. I want you to notice why they had faith. Notice why they had faith. Their shout was not just based on blind faith. In fact, let me help you with something right here. I'm going to mess up your theological bubble, okay? You ready? Just hang on. It'll be okay. Faith is not, are you ready? Faith is not just a leap in the dark. Did you know that? That's the way we think of faith, is it not? It's just a leap in the dark. That's not what faith is. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is a reliance on the Word of God before we know what the outcome is going to be. Amen. Does that make sense? Faith is a reliance on the Word of God. At the beginning of the book, the Bible says this in Joshua 1:1. It said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. He says again in chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, and he said, nay, this is that great soldier that Joshua saw, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Joshua fell on his face and worshiped. Hey, what I'm trying to say is this. Joshua and the people of Israel did not just shout in faith because it was blind faith. They shouted in faith because they had received a word from God. God spoke to Joshua at the beginning of the book. God spoke to Joshua again through that great captain, that great soldier. And he told Joshua, this is what I'm going to do. So when they shouted outside of Jericho, they shouted because they believed the word of God was what God promised it was going to be. You don't know what 2021 is going to bring, but you know what God said. You do not know how that situation in your life is going to work out, but you know what God has said. You do not know what others are going to think, how others are going to react, what others are going to do, but you know what God has said. And as long as we have what thus saith the word of God, we can shout on that because God's word is always true. Amen. Amen. That's right. Not only why they shouted, but I want you to notice when they shouted. According to verse number 20, the people shouted after they marched around Jericho the seventh time on the seventh day. According to the same verse, after they shouted, the walls of Jericho fell down before them. Therefore, I think I can safely say that the people shouted before the walls fell down. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong, but in the timeline of that verse, they shout before the walls fall down. Is that right? Is that right? They shout first, and then the walls fall down second. You know what I'm afraid we want to do too often? I'm afraid we want to reserve our shout for after the walls have fallen down. Oh, yeah. What about that? We want to wait till the walls are down and the enemy is defeated. And then we're going to shout. But you know what God wants us to do and what we're going to do if we're going to have a shout in faith? We're not waiting till the walls fall down. We're not waiting till the city has been taken. We're not waiting till Jericho's done. You know when we're going to shout? We're going to shout before the walls ever fall down. Amen. You say, well, if this situation works out, I'm going to praise God for it. No, why don't you go ahead and praise Him? Whether you know how it's going to work out or not. Because He's worthy of our praise right now. I said it a minute ago and I believe it to be true today. I believe that before one piece of mortar ever crumbled or cracked or fell out of that wall, they were shouting because they believed by faith that God was going to give them victory. And you can shout this morning by faith because you have the Word of God. You know what God's going to do. They shouted. Their faith allowed them to shout. Number two, let me give you this. Not only did their faith allow them to shout, but I believe their past allowed them to shout. Their past allowed them to shout. Oh, I can see them in verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when they heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout. And the wall fell down flat. So the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. When the children of Israel finally reached Jericho, it was the fulfillment of a promise made many years before. I've already mentioned this. I'll not circle around and do it again, but 40 years prior to this, God told Moses that he was going to give the children of Israel the promised land. Everyone that received that promise, including Moses, has died and been buried. I can't help but wonder if when these people walked up to Jericho and they shouted that day, I can't help but wonder if their shout was not a testimony of where God had brought them and what God had brought them to. Think about this with me. Their past was painful. It was. Their past was painful. I'm not going to recap the entire book of Joshua, but according to chapter number 5, when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River and they set up those 12 stones as a memorial, before they took Jericho, God told them to do something very interesting. In chapter number 5, this is what God said. He said, I want you to circumcise all the men for the second time. He said, go through the process of circumcision all over again. Now, I'm not going to explain to you what the process of circumcision is. If you do not understand, you do not know. If you'll see Brother Scott, that is one of the jobs as a deacon. He will explain that to you when service is over with, all right? Just meet him right here on the front. But I'm not going to explain that to you. But what had happened is this. When Moses led the children of Israel out of the wilderness, they circumcised themselves. But since they had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they had not been circumcised. Therefore, that meant that these men that were about to take Jericho had never been circumcised. And we know that God gave Abraham the ritual of circumcision, a type of cutting away of the flesh, as a type of separation, as being different than the nations around them. And God is saying to Joshua, you're going to have to cut the flesh away. You're going to have to separate yourselves. You're going to have to go through this painful process before I give you Jericho. Their past was painful. They were going to have to cut some things away. God was going to let them shout if they did. I don't think I have to explain too much that our past, especially this past year, has been painful, has it not? We've gone through some painful things. There have been tears shed. There's been worrisome nights. There have been days we did not know what was coming on the horizon. There were times when you were literally afraid to walk out of your door this year. That's exactly right, friend. You didn't know if you'd end up in the middle of a protest, if you'd end up with a virus that would take you away from your family. You did not. You were afraid to walk out your door at times. And at times they said you can't walk out your door. That's the kind of year that we've been through. But can I say we've been through it? And here we sit by the goodness and the grace of God. And although this year has been painful and we have experienced some painful things, we can shout today because God has brought us through those things. Amen. The past was painful. The past was prolonged. Not only was the past painful, the past was prolonged. Again, most of us know the story. I've mentioned this twice now. But they'd been wandering in a wilderness for 40 years. They were supposed to have taken Jericho 40 years ago. But they've been wandering in a wilderness because of a lack of faith. God made them wander there for 40 years. 1 year for every day the spies were in that land. They were in that that wilderness a prolonged period of time. God wanted to give them something, but they just couldn't get there. Man, this year has not only been painful, but it's been prolonged, if you ask me. This has been the longest year, I think, of my life. We were at Cracker Barrel the other night. I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he said something, and it blew me away. He mentioned the fact that Kobe Bryant had died in 2020. Y'all know who Kobe is? And he said, you know, when Kobe died this year, and I said, wait a minute, Kobe didn't die this year. Yeah. He said, Kobe's helicopter accident was this year, 2020. I thought that was last year. It seems like so long ago. There's been so many things happen between now and then. I forgot that was even this year. You think about it, between the virus and the shutdowns and the masks and the quarantines and the fires and the election and the murder hornets that didn't even get their time in the sun and the murder hornets and the protests and the riots. This has been a long year. In fact, what was it? In March, the president said, let's have 15 days to slow the curve. This has been the longest 15 days of my life. This year has not only been painful, it's been prolonged. Seems like we can't get out of it. Seems like we can't get away from it. But again, here we are. We've been there. God has brought us through that. And while it's been painful and while it's gone on and on and on, and people we love are still dealing with these things, we can shout because God has been good to us. The past has been painful. The past has been prolonged. But the past has been a pillar. I'll say it that way. The past has been a pillar. In chapter number 4, the Bible tells us that when the entire nation crosses over the Jordan River, the man of God Joshua commands that they take 12 stones out of the Jordan River. He said, you take 12 stones and you pile them on top of each other and you make a memorial out of them. And he said, this is why I want you to do it. He said, because there will come a day when your children will see those stones and they'll say, what do these stones mean? And he said, on that day when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them the story of where God has brought you from, what God has brought you through, what God has brought you to. You testify to them about the goodness and the grace and the greatness of God. You tell them on that day where God has brought you from. Verse number 6 of chapter number 4, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When they passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Can I say that while this time has been painful and this time has been prolonged, I hope that you've set up some pillars of remembrance in your heart along the way. I hope that in all the hurt and in all the pain, this year has brought you to some mental bookmarks that you can remember and testify of in days to come. In that pain, God was your comfort. In that sorrow, He was your joy. In the darkness, He was your light. In the uncertainty, He was your firm foundation. In the fear, He was your shelter. In your weakness, He was your strength. I believe that we can set up some pillars and say, yes, it's been difficult. Yes, it's been hard. But I can shout because God has proven Himself. He has shown Himself faithful along the way. I don't know about you, but I believe that when the children of Israel marched around Jericho for the last time and they shouted, it was not just a shout. It was a testimony of everything they had been through that had brought them up to that point. What they had gone through had been long, it had been difficult, it had been hard for years, but they could shout because God had brought them through it. We can shout the same way. It's worth pointing out before I move on that Jericho wouldn't be the last battle to fight. There would still be plenty more battles to fight. There were more enemies to face. There was a lot of land to take. But in that moment, they could shout because of where God had brought them from. Their faith allowed them to shout. Their past allowed them to shout. Thirdly, and I'm done, their future allowed them to shout. Their future allowed them to shout. Verse 27 says, So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. The book of Joshua is the story of what lies next. Verse 27 tells us that the Lord blessed Joshua, and the whole country hears about him. Soon the whole country is going to meet him. They hear about him now, but they're going to meet him. The story of Joshua is the story of what lies next. Too many Christians, I think I can say it this way and you'll understand it. Too many Christians assume that Egypt was the end of the story. That coming out of Egypt, being delivered from the bondage of Egypt, a type of salvation being brought out by the blood, they believe that's the end of the story. But Egypt isn't the end of the story. God wasn't done with Israel outside of Egypt. God wanted them to move into a land flowing with milk and honey. There was something next. In like manner, God didn't just save us to save us. You understand that, right? Don't get me wrong, salvation's wonderful, but that's not all God has for you. God not only wants to deliver you from the slavery of your sin, He wants to turn you into a Spirit-filled, mature believer. Hebrews 6:1 said, therefore, leaving behind the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on is the Christian cry. I really believe that's the Christian cry. The destruction of Jericho was going to be the first step in moving forward. Before they could inherit and possess the rest of the land, they had to take Jericho first. So when they shout at Jericho, it is not only a shout of what was yesterday, it is a shout that's looking forward to what's coming tomorrow. They're going to take the land. Let me say two things. First of all, let me say that the future, they could shout because the future was promised. The future was promised. Let me read you a verse. It's verse 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." God promised Joshua victory over Jericho. There was going to be no fighting at Jericho. You understand that, right? No fighting at Jericho. Jericho wouldn't be taken with swords and spears. Jericho already belonged to them before they ever marched around it for the first time. You say, how's that right? Because God had promised it to them. All they had to do was obey the voice of the Lord. In fact, I'll remind you, this is the words of Rahab in chapter 2, verse 9. She said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." She said, we already know that God's given you this land. The people of God do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. The victory is promised to us. It has already been won for us by Christ on Calvary. Therefore, we can look to the future and look to the future knowing we already have victory. Let me give you a little thought, and I feel like I need to close. Let me give you a little thought. If you realized that God had already given you victory, it would change the way you looked at tomorrow. It really would. Do you know what we worry and we stress and we fret a lot? Because tomorrow is uncertain. Tomorrow hasn't been accomplished yet. Whatever we've got to face, whatever your tomorrow is, you look at that with fear and dread and uncertainty because you don't know how it's going to turn out. But if we learned this secret that God has already promised us victory, then we could look at tomorrow differently. We wouldn't have to be afraid. We wouldn't have to be uncertain. We wouldn't have to fear because we know God has already spoken words of victory into our life. You say, oh, that's good. Does that mean everything's going to turn out the way I want it to? No, I didn't say that. But I'm saying God knows what's best. And God will always do what's best. And whatever we face tomorrow, we can face it with a shout because God has already promised us some things. It's interesting. The Bible says that when they get ready to march around Jericho and they're going to shout, before they shout, the Bible says they blow ram's horns. That's what the Scripture says. It says it twice, actually. They blow the ram's horns. Did you know that ram's horns in the Bible were not used by soldiers on a battlefield? Instead, they would use silver horns, silver trumpets on the battlefield. And they would blow those silver trumpets to talk about going into battle, how military tactics on the battlefield. They didn't blow ram's horns when they marched into battle. They blew ram's horns on years of jubilee, on years of celebrations. Ram's horns were used by the priest to declare celebration. When Joshua and the children of Israel marched around Jericho, I said this, they weren't going to fight. They didn't blow those silver trumpets, march into battle. They blew ram's horns. God's already given you victory. Just celebrate what God has already promised you. The future is promised. Last of all, the future is precious. They could shout because the future was precious. As you continue to read through the book of Joshua, you'll discover that eventually their enemies were defeated and the land belonged to them. Joshua had men survey out the land of Canaan and measure it. They cast lots and divided the land among the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes would go into their new lands. They would build homes, they would build lives, and they would build families. When these men shouted at Jericho, it was because they knew there were some precious days ahead of them. And while they had not got the land yet, while they had not built their homes and their families and their lives yet, they knew that was coming. And so they could shout and they could worship because what was going to lay ahead of them. There are certainly some difficult days behind us. But just as there are difficult days behind us, there are precious days ahead of us. I believe by faith we're going to see some good things in the coming years. I look around, I was thinking this week, I look around this church and I see some little people sitting in pews. And they're maybe coloring books this morning, and maybe they seem like they're not paying attention. But I believe there's little ears listening to the preacher as he preaches. And you know what I believe we're going to see in coming days? I believe we're going to see people start walking aisles. Baptisms getting filled up, and us taking those young people and baptizing them because they've come to Christ. You say, I'll shout on that day, preacher. I hope you do. Why don't you go ahead and shout today? The future is precious. I believe God's going to do some good things for our church. You say, I'll shout when it happens. Go ahead and shout now. He's worthy. Just shout in faith. God's going to do some good things. The future is not only promised, but the future is precious. Brother Scott, why don't you get us a song? Let's sing a song maybe together. If there's somebody that needs to come pray, you're welcome to do that.